I'm Michelle from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gundagik Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GundagikNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to episode 82 of Better Podcasting. Today we asked you all about the beginnings of your podcast life.
Yep, this week's show is all about you and the questions and answers you had when you first began podcasting.
Finally, we discuss about where we've been this past week and when we're going to be in the future.
Let's kick off episode 82 of Better Podcasting right now!
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome back to your favorite podcast that's named Better Podcasting. I'm not saying we're your favorite podcast. I'm saying we're your favorite podcast named Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is Stargate Pioneer.
I like the fact that we can be found at betterpodcasting.com. It is a Friday in a summer. We are all jazzed, and it's going to be a great weekend because we got some plans for this weekend. So we went a little bit early. So if you plan to catch us live and you couldn't, but you're listening to us later, we hope you enjoy the show. For those of you who've joined us live, like Diami and Jeremy, hello! We're glad to have you aboard tonight.
Yeah, and we do stream this out at geeks.live when we usually stream it. And Jeremy Dennis, he's new to checking us out live. And this is what happens when you shake things up. You sometimes get different people coming and checking you out. And Jeremy is saying, wow, it's weird hearing you at one time. So what we'll do is we'll just talk really fast for this entire episode so that you can't hear us.
It's going to be so great having the entire episode where we're talking really, really, really fast, and I'm going to stumble over my words the entire time.
Yeah, we've got a fun episode today that we'll get to in a minute, but before we get there, we just want to touch base on a couple of quick things. Number one, guess what? We launched a contest. We have set up a contest. We do this from time to time on Better Podcasting, and we are giving away the beloved Audio Technica ATR 2100. Now, if you listen to our previous tests with this, we have commented that sometimes it is a bit poppy with the P's. So we are including a special something. We're going to include a piece of pantyhose, right, SB?
Pantyhose mounted on a old coat hanger. Yes. No, we've got a foam windscreen to go with it. It's made for it. It's, you know, a couple of bucks, but we popped for it so that you can sound amazing on your Audio Technica ATR 2100. This microphone is USB. This microphone is XLR, and this microphone sounds great for pretty low price right now, $65, but it could be yours free if you win this giveaway and you just tell us why. Did you or why are you going to start your podcast? And you get it to us at all of our means. Podcast at betterpodcasting.com is probably the best way to get a hold of us by July 27th, 2017.
We also wanted to quickly touch base here about last week's episode. As you may recall, we did talk about how it was crazy that we discovered that Google is now indexing your RSS feeds. So if you didn't check that out, you can check that out at betterpodcasting.com/81. We did talk all about that, and we also wrote a companion article that we referenced. And, you know, there was two reasons for writing that. Number one, wanted to give myself an old crack at the article skills that I used to regularly do on GunnaGeek.com, and also wanted to include the screenshots for you to reference. And we mentioned that last time, and if you do check that out on GunnaGeek.com, you will actually maybe notice, you probably won't notice it, but hey, you might find that it was actually listed in the latest newsletter of Pod to Pod. And so we've been getting a lot of people checking that out and messaging us separately. And I just wanted to quickly clarify one thing there, that When I put the article up there with the screenshots, I only included my screenshots, but when I did the test in advance, what I did do is I tested it through a couple different locations, including having Stargate Pioneer do that. So I actually edited the article after some questions came in so that we included Stargate Pioneer screenshots as well, just to show that, yeah, we're just like all Google things. Sometimes things place a little bit differently, but overall he was getting the same results as me. So definitely wanted to just include that to show that it wasn't just the crazy Canadian.
The Canadian is indeed crazy, and he talks too much about moose, which I believe somebody has commented on, which we will get to in a few minutes. But you are a crazy Canadian. You live in an igloo. You drink maple syrup and Molson and Canadian whiskey, and that is your entire existence. Oh, no, 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 no. You eat Canadian bacon, too.
That's 100% true, which brings me to my other 100% Canadian thing. We've been polling you for questions. We've asked you, how have you saved your podcast? What podcatcher do you use? And we still want to know all of these different things, but I have actually a question for you. I recently thought to myself, I am a Canadian. Maybe I should look to see if I can support my fellow Canadian businesses. And I wanted to look to see if there is a Canadian option for my podcasting endeavors. As I've talked about many times, I am a self-hoster, so right now I do use a statistics service that is not Canadian, and I went looking to see, is there a media host? Is there a statistics service? Is there anything like this that's Canadian? And I'm turning up nothing. I actually posted in a couple Facebook groups, and I think I got one post, I got a couple likes, and one post being like, yeah, I want to know too. So are we out to lunch here? Is Canadians not into the podcasting business yet? I want to know if you know of a Canadian solution to any of these, let me know, because I would love to share it on this show. You can reach me at steven@betterpodcasting.com or podcast@betterpodcasting.com. Tweet me, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just get in touch with me. I want to know what Canadian podcast options are there, because again, fellow Canadians.
America.
Okay, so we said it. We asked a question, and what we asked was, what were some of the questions you had before you started podcasting? We put this question out there, and we got a lot of feedback, because we thought this was a good opportunity here for us to dive a little bit into the early days of podcasting. We get a lot of people who message us and write us and say, hey, I'm thinking about starting my podcast, and so there's a lot of questions we've all had and a lot of variance in what our first questions were. And we thought this was a good question to ask. And we were blown away with the support that we got on this question. We got so much interaction that we've decided to make it essentially the entire show. You won't get yourself a download this week. No, that's not going to happen. We wanted to just cover this all. We got a lot of quality audio clips and video as well. So if you're watching the video side of things, which you can find at youtube.com/gonnageek or at betterpodcasting.com, we absolutely are going to have some video sprinkled in as well. So you can also get to see your fellow podcasters. But we're going to go through this. We'll comment a little bit in between the clips. But it is all about you this week. Right, Stargate?
It is all about the listener and what they had to say. And I'm really excited to get through all of this information. I got my handy dandy notepad. I got my pen ready. I'm going to be writing notes as these come in. And we've had a chance to preview them once on the way in, but because we got so many, we need to take some more detailed notes along the way. So I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be referring to my notepad as we answer the questions or talk about the clips as we go. So we've got a lot to cover. Steven, are you ready to get going with the first audio clip?
No, I'm not ready. Well, what would you say if I said no?
Typical Canadian, always holding up everything going on in the world. You and Trudeau.
Okay, let's play the first clip, which comes from a person that we've actually had many clips from.
Hello, Stephen and SP. This is Diami from the Modern Woodworkers Association podcast at modernwoodworkersassociation.com. Thank you for asking what my top questions about podcasting were before I started. I hope I'm doing the question justice to say that I didn't have questions before podcasting, because I'm an accidental podcaster and I'd never really given it any consideration before I started to do it. I was a member of a group of woodworkers who were looking to promote woodworking and the social interactions around woodworking. We were given the opportunity to review a book, and we decided the best way to do it would be through a podcast. One of my co-hosts at the time was then responsible for the recording, for the editing, and for the posting, and I really didn't need anything but a computer, Skype, and a really bad microphone to participate. As time has gone on, I've taken over all those responsibilities, and I've learned about podcasting. Some of it's been trial by fire. Some of it's been things I've learned from Better Podcasting and other podcasting help sites. But a lot of it has just been through experience. So while I can't answer the questions because I didn't have any, what I can definitely say that I've learned is that it's not free. I've spent more money than I would have liked in the past year as things have failed and I've had to do things. It's not fast. It does take time to record, to edit, to post, and to publicize. It's amazingly fun and exciting to do. It's very rewarding. I've met people and made friends that I never would have had the opportunity to be introduced to without podcasting. And at the end of the day, as with anything worthwhile, you get out of it what you put into it. So my advice to anyone looking to start is to simply do that. Start. Get a microphone, a computer, and start recording. You'll soon figure out what's necessary. Hopefully this is helpful. I know I didn't directly answer the question, but hopefully I've shared what I have learned through years of podcasting. Keep up the good show, guys, and I look forward to more of it in the future.
I will have to say, Dammy, thank you very much for your input. The one thing that I took away at the end there was very, very important. Just start podcasting. Just do it and get it out of the way, because once you start, you're going to have fun. You're not going to be able to stop, but you're going to learn some stuff along the way, and it's going to be very rewarding. And I will agree with that. He mentioned that it's not free. It's not fast. I will agree with that. It takes me an enormous amount of time to podcast, but I have fun doing it. So there you go. And this is the one thing, though, I have to say. Accidental podcaster, right, Steven? How do you accidentally start podcasting?
Well, I figure that it's the same way that you accidentally show up at a woodworking convention. It just kind of happens.
In Tijuana.
Yeah. No, I think this is great. And I actually know what he means. I think there is more accidental podcasters than we like to believe. You know, they just stumble into this. They're like, okay, I want to look at expanding my sites. And then they come across the idea of a podcast and they're like, hey, that's kind of cool. It's not like they're just like set out to do it. It's like, you know, how often do you see people who are like, I'm going to go and I want to play baseball for fun. And they seek that out. There's other people who just kind of stumble into podcasting. So I like this. I think this is cool. And I also thought that it was a really neat thing that, I know that his show doesn't come off this way, but when you think about what he said, his core motivation was essentially promotion. That's his core motivation on how he got into podcasting. And now it is so much more than that. So it's very cool.
Very cool indeed. And once again, thank you very much. We have a lot more information to go through, don't we, Steven?
Yeah, let's hit up Bandrew Scott, who is a prior guest on this show.
Hello, Steven and SP. It is Bandrew, and I thought I would go ahead and send in a few of the questions that I had prior to launching my podcasts, as well as share the answers that I found to those questions. So the very first question I had is, what's the best microphone? What's the right microphone to buy for my podcast? I don't know. And I would spend hours and hours researching that. And I would be lying if I didn't say that bad audio bothers me, but I don't think that getting flawless audio should be your number one priority. So prior to doing those 10 or 15 hours of research a week on microphones, I would suggest spending that time developing a unique podcast idea, researching competing podcasts, and trying to differentiate yourself. I think that's what will serve you better in the end. And in the meantime, you can practice talking into a microphone on your smartphone, because speaking into a microphone is an insanely difficult thing to do. It's definitely an acquired skill. So spend time practicing while you're developing your podcast. And then when it comes time to pick a right microphone, I'm going to recommend a dynamic cardioid microphone, just like Steven and SP always suggest. And when it comes time for you to pick a microphone, I hope you'll think of me. And here's a little bit of shameless self-promotion. I run a YouTube channel, youtube.com/podcastage. I review tons and tons of microphones and audio gear. So if you need help diving into the deep, dark world of audio gear, go ahead and check that out. The second question I had is, what's the best day to release a podcast and what's the optimal length? And the answer I found to both of those is, it doesn't matter. Who cares? So the reason I say that is when you start a podcast and start to gain a following, you basically just have this agreement with yourself and the audience where they know you release a podcast every Monday or once every 2 weeks on Thursday. It doesn't really matter. But they know that you release your podcast on this day every single week. So that's really all that matters. You just need to remain consistent with your release schedule. That way your audience knows, okay, well, Bandrew, or more importantly, SP just released a new podcast. So now I can go download it and listen to him talk and listen to that golden voice. That's what's important. Stay consistent with your release schedule. And in terms of optimal podcast length, a podcast should just be as long as it needs to be. I think this is a sentiment that Steven and SP have iterated on this podcast, but I think it's 100% true and 100% worth repeating. So I've heard plenty of podcasts that have been an hour and a half long that probably should have been maybe 15 or 20 minutes. And on the opposite side, I've heard podcasts that were 15 or 20 minutes that could have easily been expanded to an hour and a half or even 2 hours. So I don't think you should lock yourself into a set time frame based on other podcasters' podcast length. You should just have your outline or however you prepare for your podcast and make it as long as it needs to be. Don't keep going and don't cut it too short. Just do what feels right. That was kind of a weird answer, but that's what I found. That's what I do. And the last question that I had prior to launching my podcast was, how do you grow your audience? And that's a question that you hear every single day on every single podcast forum, people just trying to grow their audience. And I personally don't have a concrete answer. If I did, I would be a millionaire selling my secrets to people. But I think a very easy way to increase the audience that you could potentially have is by niching down your podcast topic area. So rather than going into a general technology podcast arena where you would be competing with podcasts like The Verge or TechCrunch or anything like that, maybe focus in on one part of technology that you're really passionate about. Like maybe you really like keyboards. Make an entire podcast talking about different keyboards, the different build techniques, the different switches, all sorts of cool stuff like that. And instead of going up against 1,000 podcasts, now you'll be going up against maybe 5 or 10. Or if you're doing a podcast about keyboards, maybe you'll be going up against nobody, because I don't think there are any keyboard podcasts. So I think that would be, it may ultimately limit the potential audience you have, but it will get you to that audience that really clicks with you. No pun intended. Clickety, clickety, keyboard, clack. Oh God, that was a bad pun. So those are the questions that I had. I hope that you got some information out of them. Steven and SP, thank you for having me on and letting me share what I learned from podcasting. And if anybody out there is looking for microphones, I run a channel, youtube.com/podcastage, where I review microphones, and you can listen to me on the Bander Says podcast, where I don't heed my own advice and I just talk about general technology. All right, guys, see ya.
Thank you so much for that, Bandrew. That was fantastic. Always good to have your insight into the world of podcasting. And I actually got to say, one of the big takeaways that I have saw from this was the niching your podcast topic. And so I am happy to say that after this episode, Better Podcasting is no longer going to be a podcast about podcasting. Instead, we are going to be covering the hats of Bandrew Scott. That will be our topic. We will talk about the various hats that Bandrew Scott wears on his podcast's channel.
I like how he's able to wear the hats and the headphones all at the same time. And oh, by the way, I'll be looking for the clickety clack keyboard show at the gunnageek.com/join to join the Gunna Geek Network, because I think we need more technology podcasts on the network. I really do. It's a serious thing. No. So I would like to see a podcast about keyboards on the network. Also, Bandrew mentioned listenable audio. Don't obsess about the perfect audio when you start. I absolutely agree with that. And that is why we recommend starting off with one of the basic USB/XLR microphones, the Nox podcast microphone, the ATR2100, which is an Audio Technica microphone, the Audio Technica AT2005, or the Samsung Q2U. They're all very similar, possibly exactly the same on the inside with the electronics, and I think that they're great. You can get them as low as $40 right now for the Knox. Yeah. Depending on what country you're in, it might be one or the other would be cheaper. But just go with that. That's going to get you the great audio, the 85, 90% solution, and just go with that and run and then work with something else. Now, if you have multiple people in the room, I might recommend something else, but go ahead and get in touch with me and I'll tell you what my recommendations are. Consistency was another thing that Bandrew said. Consistency. Absolutely. You got to be consistent unless you're a superstar or celebrity, like, or have an amazing content like Dan Carlin does with Hardcore History. You need to be consistent in order to maintain your visibility in front of your audience, whether that's once a month, whether that's once a week, whether that's twice a year, I don't care. But you have to make sure the audience knows that that is when to expect your next episode. So I believe that completely.
There was also the awesome point that he had about episode length, which is do what feels right. And that's, I love that answer. I agree with you 100%. Don't sit there and think you have to be a certain time. It is what is right for your podcast, and don't be that hour and a half podcast that should have been 30 minutes that he spoke about. You want to make sure you're the right balance.
And I just have to say, Bandrew, it's not the golden Stargate Pioneer anymore. It is the genuine Stargate Pioneer.
But it is indeed the
golden IOPR40.
Which I have to say that Steven has and not me. I use the Electro Voice RE320. But we have a lot more to get through, and we have another audio clip. Steven, roll the tape.
Hello, Better Podcasting. It's Michelle, a co-host on the Starlight Tribune podcast. And two questions I had before I started podcasting was, one, how do I get good sound? And over the years, I've learned that microphones do vary in quality. And by improving microphones, I've improved sound. And I'm still working on how to get good sound. And in fact, I am testing a new microphone right now. The second main question I've had since the beginning is to, you know, how to properly edit audio and prep it to post. This is one that I am still working on, and one of the ways I have been improving is by listening to this podcast. So I enjoy the show, and thanks for all you do. Bye, guys.
Oh, I'll tell you, Michelle, that was one of the great things that I was wondering about before I started, before we even started recording, is what am I supposed to do with this file after I get it? How am I supposed to edit? And thank the stars that my co-host at the time, Sean, really walked me through it. And Steven, you were instrumental in the ensuing months as well, trying to get the great audio. So I just want to say thank you to everybody who helped me learn how to use Audacity. But that is not an easy thing. It's easy, but it's something that you have to learn. And if you're new to podcasting, it's something that you have to go through. So yes, you can release your first. This is why, by the way, a lot of the times the first episode is never one you want to go back to listen to, because you just don't know how to record it and you don't know how you're going to deal with it in post. So a lot of people can actually go back after they've been podcasting for a while and revamp or remaster their first episode, but it's going to be as good as the first recording as well. And I have an insight into which microphone that she was testing out. And it is a decent interview microphone. We might actually have her on the podcast at some point in time to talk about the differences between that microphone and the one she started on, which was an AT2005.
Michelle actually told me which one it was, and you're absolutely correct. It is the Sennheiser MD46, I believe it is. Is that correct, SB?
That is correct. Yeah. And we were using those at Indiana Comic Con 2017 a few weeks ago.
And I was surprised to hear the different nuanced difference between her two mics. So it was really neat to hear. Very cool. I think for the live stream folks, you probably don't hear the differences as much, but it's a solid mic. I like it. I definitely see me recommending that to some people who are in the field, but also want to use that mic back at home. So very cool. And Michelle, I got to say, I think your question about the whole editing thing is one that does often challenge people to really start. And sometimes it's just a matter of going into it and really tackling, because what I think, there's two sort of elements of the editing. And the number one part is the actual process, like using the software. That's huge. How do I use the software? The second part is, how do you actually conduct the edits? You want to make sure that you're not accidentally cutting off people laughing mid-sentence so it sounds abrupt. Or, you know, you end up having the different double breaths where it's like you've taken out a section, but you have somebody that sounds like they're going You know, like, yeah, that sort of stuff. So there's different things, and a lot of that just comes with doing it. Just doing it and playing it back, seeing what you like. And I know editing seems to get easier for people as they go through. So thank you very much for that, Michelle. Excellent question. Moving along with the Gunna Geek Network, we actually had another video. We've got that from the one and only Chris Farrell. Again, past guest of the show.
Hey guys, it's Chris Farrell from the Gunna Geek Network. You've probably seen me in a bunch of different shows, but Steven had said, I got something for you to think about, Chris. What is one of the top questions you had when you first started podcasting? And I kind of had to stop and think about it for a while, because once I did think about it, I realized I've been doing this for a lot longer than I remembered. And I had to think back, and no, it wasn't what kind of microphone should I use? It wasn't what kind of website should I host it on? I kind of used Google and muddled my way around through that. And actually, I used a webcam mic for the very first episode of a podcast we did because my USB chat headset was delayed in arriving coming from Amazon. Boy, I've really upgraded a lot. But as I'm thinking about it, the biggest question I had was, how do I record this? Because we were doing originally a video show, and I was thinking, how do I get the audio out of this? What tool do I need to record the audio out of this podcast, or the audio to put into a podcast format? And some digging around after a while, I didn't record locally on my machine for a while. What I ended up doing was taking the MP4 video and ripping the audio out of that, and then manipulating that in Audacity and uploading it. But that was one of the biggest questions I had when I first started, is what's the right way for me to record this audio? And while I'm not saying my solution was the best, it worked really well for someone who had absolutely no clue what they were doing. In a different world today, I would probably set something up with a digital recorder, pull all the audio out that way, or something like that, because pulling for an MP4 video, yeah, it works, but Audacity doesn't like it. Even with the FFmpeg plugin, it's a little slow to load sometimes. But when I was first starting out, it was the best alternative that I could come up with. But I think that was my biggest question when I started podcasting. How do I record this? Which is probably a big question when you're podcasting. You should probably know how you're going to record your audio. But that's my feedback on that. Thanks, guys. Hope you enjoy.
Chris, amazing points there. And one of the things that we've addressed on this podcast before is the evolution of gear. So going from where you start with just a standard webcam, a chat headset, and then ending up with what you have today, it was pretty much an amazing ride for both Steven and I. And I know that you've encountered it as well. And it helps in the recording. And the reason I bring that up is I happen to know for a fact that Chris actually added a digital audio recorder to his gear setup just a few months ago. And that has helped his recording capability. But remember, we talked about listenable audio. That's all you need when you start. And Google Hangouts, if you want to rip the audio from that, that's going to get you the audio quality that you need to move on.
Yeah, no, excellent questions there, Chris. And I got to say that I think a lot of people who have started with Hangouts kind of run into the same sort of question. How do I get this? Because I often hear people recommend Hangouts as a platform to connect with other folks. And it is how do I get that audio? And there's lots of different tools now available. But back then, yeah, it wasn't as easy to see. So very good questions. And also the other thing that I want to say that I like to highlight whenever we talk about Chris's beginning is, yeah, as he said, he started as a live video show. It's crazy. That was how he started, was doing a live Hangout. So he wasn't somebody that transitioned into live. He started. So he's one of the OGs.
Original what in this case?
Original great video podcasters.
Okay, there you go. So yeah, Chris, amazing stuff. And we appreciate your feedback. We appreciate Michelle's feedback too, if I didn't say so before. You guys are awesome. Both my co-hosts, by the way, on the Starling Tribune, which can be found at GunnaGeek.com. It's a podcast about the CW show Arrow. And we just had an amazing episode, by the way, with Steven talking about all the seasons in review for the CW shows.
Oh, so,
there you go.
You were talking about me. You said a great episode. Usually any episode I'm on is not great.
Well, it was great because we had four other great podcasters on it.
Ah, gotcha.
There you go.
And anyways, it's not great. It's fantastic. Always fantastic.
I see. Well, we're going to move on to the next audio clip. This is from a group of podcasters based out of Minnesota. So fellow Minnesotans, Golden Gophers, yay. I happen to know that one of you, I listen to your podcast, lives up in Hibbing. So good luck with the internet speeds up there. In the meantime, we're going to Steven, roll the clip.
Hey guys, I am Usually Dave, and I'm joined by Jason.
Hey everyone.
And Adam.
Hello.
We are from the Digital Soup Podcast, and you guys wanted to know a little bit about some things that we wish we would have known before we dove into podcasting. And so we put a couple things together here real quick for you. Our first thought that we had was, going into it, we kind of rushed into our show. We were talking about doing a podcast and had a big Nintendo Switch event happen, and we decided, spur of the moment, day or two in advance, let's do this thing. So we just dove in feet first. And one of the things that we wish we would have known a little bit more about, and it's something we're still trying to figure out a good answer for, is that we wish we would have known a little bit more about the promotional side of things. Some of the common topics will be, of course, social media, best places and ways to promote your show, and also to build that community. I know you guys on your last episode had a full show all about this, so that was some great information. But also stuff like the iTunes New and Noteworthy,
right?
Having the, what, eight weeks, was it, to get yourself in there. So that's one of the big things we had. Adam, what did you have?
Well, one of the things that we realized as we went also was, just through searching different methods to promote your show, is finding out that organized and good show notes have a good impact, or a really big impact, on the searchability of your podcast. So if somebody is looking for a podcast about a certain topic, if we don't have our show notes in order, you know, those are the ones that are getting indexed, and that can be key to your podcast even being found.
Right. It also helps us stay on track, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So right now, one of the solutions we use, we share a Google Doc with each other for our show notes, and it lets us all kind of, even though we're in different locations across the country, the three of us, we can all share and see, you know, live edits and everything through Google Docs. So
absolutely. And Jason, you've got something on the tech side for us that you figured out. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, we all listen to a lot of podcasts here, and we've listened to some really great ones and some not so great ones. And I'm not talking about the content. I'm talking about the actual audio quality. It's all over the board. People do their shows different ways. And, you know, we found that your rooms can generate a lot of noise bouncing around,
ambient noise, because of anything.
Yep. And we found that, you know, removing that noise makes a much smoother quality and much better to listen to for the listener. And I use Audacity. There's different programs I've tried, but Audacity seems to be one of the easier ones to use. And I'm able to remove pretty good amount of all the background sound just with their tool. It works really well, I believe, for us and, you know, for others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things I definitely recommend, is get rid of that background noise.
Yep. And so one of the techniques we use is, before each show, we hit record and then we just wait for 10 seconds of silence.
Yeah,
it gives us kind of this good audio profile, what that noise looks like, so we can remove it.
Absolutely. It just goes to show, most importantly, when it comes to podcasting, it's all about having a good time with your friends, talking about stuff that you guys are really enjoying or having fun with. And it doesn't have to cost you a fortune in equipment and gear. So dive right in is what we'd have to say. So Jason, why don't you let them know where to find us, and we'll get out of here.
All right. Best place to find us is digitalsuitpodcast.com. We have links for iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, everything from there.
Yep.
And definitely check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/digitalsuitpodcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having us, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
Later.
I'll agree with the Digital Soup guys. Thank you very much, by the way, for the audio clip of diving right in, unless you're diving into a frozen lake in Minnesota. That's not going to work at all. And I know Steven knows all about that. You don't dive into your igloo.
No, you kind of dive under it. There's a difference.
There you go. Now, a lot of great stuff. Again, back to the accidental podcast. You just decided spur of the moment, hey, we're going to just record this. It's amazing. And that is great, because it shows you just dived in. You just did it. You gained experience while you were at it. And 23 episodes later, you guys sound amazing on your show. And the SEO with the show notes, that is true, that building show notes and posting them will help you with your SEO, with just search engine optimization, by the way. And show notes are very important to keep a show on track, because we run off the rails all the time on Better Podcasting. And if it wasn't for these show notes, we'd be talking about moose in Canada.
There's two things that I really liked about this. Number one was the SEO, which is why we're actually not going to be called Better Podcasting anymore. We're going to change our name to Digital Coop because then we're stealing some of their SEO. So we're going to go with Digital Coop from now on. Secondly, I do think, though, that the room noise profile thing is huge. I think that that's such a very cool thing that they picked up on early on. A lot of people miss that. And what's nice, if you're ever sending anybody an audio clip, give them a couple of seconds so they can do that. Because some people do that, some people don't. It does help a lot with editors. And also, as well, I like the idea that they talked about their shared document for edit points and things. I think if you're wanting to make yourself a better podcaster, take a look at if you have somebody who's keeping edit notes, take a look at what they're editing of yours and take a look and see, do I need to make changes? If you're noticing your name is constantly interrupting somebody, it's a great flag that you need to back up a little bit. If you, on the flip side, you see somebody's constantly interrupting you, maybe you need to change your delivery a little bit so that people can pick up on your ending a bit better. So definitely some good notes by checking out the editor's notes.
I do have one, I guess, beef with these guys. They mentioned new and noteworthy. Oh, did you see me shudder on the video when they mentioned that, by the way?
No, I actually saw you grab your new and noteworthy banner and put it behind you. That's what I noticed you do.
I see. So iTunes, now called Apple Podcasts, has this area called new and noteworthy, which is basically where all the new shows go. Unfortunately, we've seen study time after time after time again that new and noteworthy is not worth anything anymore, but just because there's so much volume of podcasts out there and so many people are starting to go outside the iTunes or Apple Podcasts app and just doing some other searchability for the show, and new noteworthy is not going to help you as much as it is. Now, I will say that being featured in Apple Podcasts will help immensely. So that's a distinction there. If you want to get featured, you're going to have a successful show for Apple to want to feature you and then work with them or with your media hosting company to try to get featured in there as well, because that will help you on the hundreds of downloads from what I've seen lately.
For sure. All right, let's move on to our next one, which is one that is very detailed. So thank you so much for this. Who is this, SP?
This is the one, the only, Jason Bryant, host of Matt Talk Weekly.
Greetings all in Better Podcasting Land. My name is Jason Bryant from Matt Talk Online at matttalkonline.com and me on Twitter at Jason M. Bryant. A lot of questions being thrown around when you start podcasting, and I myself had a lot of the same questions that the good folks here at Better Podcasting answer on a weekly basis. One of those do not involve moose, however. So while SP and I are in the great state of Minnesota, the resident Canadian on Better Podcasting can keep his moose jokes to himself or to Winnipeg. So there are three different eras of podcasting when you look at what I've done. It's my first show, 2008, 2009. Didn't know it was a podcast. Didn't know it was an iTunes. Didn't know what the hell I was doing. The second era was the first show that I actually started with my next job at USA Wrestling, which was a national governing body for wrestling in an Olympic family, you know, Pan American Olympic company. So like you've got USA Hockey for hockey, well, USA Swimming for swimming, we've got USA Wrestling for wrestling. I started a show there, had a different set of questions. Then as I moved on to finally branching out on my own and making podcasting the focal point or the primary income driver for my own personal and more or less freelance business, I've basically lumped everything I do around a microphone. I've got a bunch of them, whether it be PA announcing, whether it be podcasting. So there are three distinct journeys in my world of podcasting. So starting with before I even knew what podcasting really was, I knew what a podcast was kind of because I'd seen it in iTunes. That is the extent of my knowledge before Kyle Klingman and I, my co-host during the 2008-2009 wrestling season, where we both relocated to Minnesota for this effort. It was supposed to be on television, radio, and we were supposed to have a webcast of such things. So the first part was the radio show and how to stream it at the same time. So the question I had there really wasn't about podcasting, but it became a podcasting question based on the software I was using. So we called around and we ended up using a radio station at a local college, at Augsburg College in Minneapolis. And there are a ton of small colleges here in the Twin Cities area, which I was now calling home. So we go in, we find KAUG, K-A-U-G, on campus right there at Augsburg, about 12 minutes from where we're working from. And they had a program called NiceCast that allowed them to stream through, you know, we gave out a URL and all of a sudden didn't realize it was kind of like on their server. So that's another something we learned. But NiceCast also had the record function. So we were recording out of a radio studio. We had a call-in phone line, which was really bad. And we ended up making it work for 2 months in that environment. Then after learning what NiceCast was, some of the questions were, okay, can I do a show strictly online from my basement? Well, right now I'm in my basement. This isn't the same basement, but I was in Arden Hills about 5 minutes from where I live now. So in researching that, I realized we can do our show and our guests through Skype. Then we can record it with NiceCast with the box and then record it with the video. Basically, what a lot of people want to do right now, we were trying to do in 2008 with absolutely no clue what we were doing. The entire time, I could have been recording the video right to the computer into Final Cut Pro. No, I was recording to a tape and then running that tape through FireWire into Final Cut, waiting for it to go the entire time for the hour that we did our show, then edit. Oh my goodness, the first time it took like 7 hours for this video to encode. I had never done anything on Final Cut Pro, but that's more of a video question. The podcast, as it circles back, well, we were uploading the archive from NiceCast, this MP3 file, to a plugin within our WordPress page, which I didn't run the WordPress page in terms of setting it up. But whoever our tech guy was, actually his name was Peter Meister, he had set it up to the show was going to be automatically submitted to iTunes. He'd already done that. I'm not sure how he did it, or he had already taken our first episode and put it up there without us knowing, but it was in iTunes. Wrestling 411 was in iTunes. Didn't know. Didn't put it there. And then about 2 months into the show, we're like, oh, this is in iTunes. You can subscribe going to iTunes. Plug in your iPod and good to go. Later that year, we find out that I've got some wrestlers that at tournaments like, yeah, man, I listen to you and Kyle's show all the time when I'm working out. I'm like, oh, people actually listen to podcasts. So the questions I had then were simple, but they're very similar to what you'll hear now. How do you record from home? How do you record calls? How do you eventually get it onto iTunes? Remember, getting it onto iTunes, that's kind of funny. How do you upload to iTunes? Yeah, common, almost like it's one of those things you hear that you just drink as a podcast joke. So that was the first one. That project, unfortunately, ended after about a year. And learning some things on the fly there made me realize, okay, I want to start a podcast for real, Joe, at USA Wrestling, the national governing body, because I thought it would be good for us to have a show. We call it Matt Chat. Very, you know, pretty much what you might expect, Matt Chat. There's now actually a Matt Chat version on the Matt Talk Podcast Network, which is it's similar to the show I used to have, but it's not the same show. The archives of the USA Wrestling Matt Chat can also be found at Matt Talk Online. I do not want anybody to go back and listen to Wrestling 411's archives. They're horrible. Like, everybody's first podcast, it sucks. And especially the first episode. Now, content-wise, we were pretty good, but man, the sound... Yeah, it was really, really bad. Yeah, really bad. And when we were doing it out of the basement too, sometimes we'd have an echo because I didn't know how to route things in NiceCast, which is actually a program you can still get with Rogue Amoeba. There's some plugins for Skype. Some of those early episodes are just horrible. So then I go to USA Wrestling. I have some broadcasting gear that I've acquired over the years. Some broadcast headsets, a small Mackie mixer, and I ran it through GarageBand, recorded Skype, figured out a way to route it. And again, those were the questions I have. How do I record Skype phone calls into GarageBand? That was probably the first question I had about starting a real podcast. The second one's, how do I get it in iTunes? Well, guess what? You need the valid RSS feed, right? Well, we were using a content management system at USA Wrestling that was about 10 years old. RSS feeds, yeah, not quite going to happen. So what I ended up doing is looking up how to write my own XML RSS feed. Who did I find? Rob Walsh's Podcast 411. Matter of fact, some of the code I used that I didn't actually get rid of, you know, sometimes you can gray it out with the code, with the, you know, the caret dash dash exclamation point, your comment code. That still had some of Rob Walsh's Podcast 411 stuff. I actually discovered that about 3 years after the fact and told Rob that was kind of amusing. So my questions on part two were, how do I record on Skype? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? How do I record in a GarageBand? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? How do I write my RSS feed? Where do I get my RSS feed? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And finally, stats. say it with me now, sounds familiar, doesn't it? I discovered Blueberry's stats function and spent the $5 a month in that respect, and I kind of had stats. Still actually have access to that old function. So that was part two of the podcast journey. Now, part three is when I decide to, this is a couple years down the line, I had started a show called Short Time, and I realized I wanted to branch out and actually provide my voice to their content, to basically make myself an agent to create a podcast for people, do the hosting, the editing, use my knowledge in wrestling to host a coach's show for these college wrestling programs and organizations. So now that I've got that, I've currently have 20 different shows on my network, 10 of which I host and edit myself and produce and do all that stuff. 10 of them. The other 10, I have my hands on them in terms of posting and certain noise correction and things like that, run them through Alphonics, simple things like that, or even do some slight modifications. But the questions I had on part three were now longer becoming, how do I record? Because I knew how to do that other stuff. Then I realized halfway through, I knew that, okay, I had WordPress. So now I need to know, what themes are podcast functional? Where do I host my show? Do I go with Blueberry? Do I go with Libsyn? Do I do Podcast Garden, or do I do Podbean? You know, all those questions. And then how do I maximize my listeners? So you've seen through the three generations of how I've done a show that I've had the same questions in various degrees of severity through each one, where there was stats in part two in 2010, there are stats based on which hosting packages in 2013, 2008, had no idea any of this stuff existed. So the story is, or to borrow a phrase from my friend Emily from the story behind my podcast questions are all basically rooted in the same general questions. How do you record? How do you get stats? And how do you make sure your RSS feed works? So those sound very similar to everything you hear on Better Podcasting. So that's been a little bit about the top questions I have in the three versions of my podcast journey. Let's hear yours. I'm sure SP is going to tell you all about it once he gets back from moose hunting.
Jason, thanks so much for that. So I'd usually say, let's just talk the elephant in the room, but let's just talk the moose in the room, because, you know, I know how much you love moose. Or is it meese? Anyways, I have to say that, okay, Jason told us that we could trim that as we wanted. It's a 10-minute clip. I thought it was so important to leave his 10-minute clip in because it showed you the evolution and how these questions repeated for him at every turn. And I love it. It's such a good walk and journey down Jason's history with podcasting, and so much repeat stuff. And again, if we look at the first steps that he took was just doing it and finding the answers as he did it. So Jason, thanks so much for taking us on your journey of podcasting.
Yeah, and journey is exactly what I want to describe right here. Podcasting is new. It's only been around for just over a decade. The people that were doing it in the mid-2000s into the late-2000s before we switched over to the 20-teens, we're not dealing with the same technological infrastructure and backbone that we are today. Things have improved so much that just about anybody can record something, even on their phone, upload it to whatever media host, and bam, there's your podcast right there. So things have changed. Jason suffered through some of the early days and some of the knowledge that wasn't there, some of the knowledge that we're hoping to give you here at Better Podcasting. I think Jason did a great job of taking us down that journey with him, and really looking forward to what he has in store for the future, because that man is just a machine with his podcast network. Jeez, the last I heard is like over 20 shows. Guy's got a lot going on. So we are going to move on now to Aurelia Pod. Jason, say it, or Steven, say it with me. Aurelia Pod.
It's a compliment you called me Jason, but I'm still not going to say it because, you know, Jason should say it. So go ahead.
Okay. Aurelia, Damien with Aurelia Pod has a clip. So Steven, roll it.
Hey, Steven and SP. I'm Damien, Dungeon Master and host for the Adventures in Aurelia podcast. You can find us at adventuresinaurelia.com, with Aurelia being spelt E-R-Y-L-I-A. So what do I wish I knew before I started podcasting? Well, I jumped into podcasting coming from the position of a podcast consumer and didn't really look into what it took to run a podcast until after we were rolling. My group got together, got ready to play, and I looked around and said, "Hey guys, want to make this a podcast? Everyone in?" I've made mistakes along the way, and I wish I could go back and sit down with myself and decide to do things a little bit different. First, I'd genuinely tell myself to get involved with the podcasting community and start listening to Better Podcasting, because most of what I've learned so far has come directly from you guys and some of the communities I've become involved with. It wasn't until we were launched that I started visiting the R Podcasting subreddit. I don't remember the original topic, but at one point I got in a comment chain with SP, and he told me that you guys had actually covered my question on your podcast, Better Podcasting, and I've been a listener ever since. With a group of 5 people recording, I fell into the trap of thinking a Blue Yeti set to omnidirectional would be perfect for my needs, especially when I looked at other recording setups for so many people and realized how much it would cost me. I didn't know if this would pan out, and it was easier to accept losing out on $100 than it would be to lose out on $1,000. If I could start over, I'd wait the 6 months or so that it has taken me to convert from the setup I'm using now to the setup that I am working on building. This is actually my first recording using my new Zoom H6 with an aux audio mic. With a few more mics and stands, I'll be ready to record the podcast itself with the Zoom. The Yeti isn't necessarily a terrible microphone, but I learned the hard way that just because it says omnidirectional doesn't mean you should put it in the middle of the table and record a podcast with it. Another big thing I wish I had taken into consideration was getting a couple in the can before officially launching. I went live pretty much once I finished editing the first episode, and it has bit me in the butt pretty hard. After our second episode, I got really sick and then transferred it to my fiance and our son. Due to that and some other stuff going on, we essentially pod faded right away. I went 6 weeks straight without a single episode, and it took a lot to get me back on track. But if I had had a few episodes ready, I could have probably gotten through it without much notice from any listeners. The last big thing that I wish I knew then what I know now would be a problem with how my schedule works for getting episodes out. We play and record on average once a week. I found that I can edit an episode in about 2 weeks, but our recordings are usually 3 to 4 hours long, and I release episodes an hour and a half long. This means that one episode may last us 3 to 4 recording sessions. Right now, my most recent episode is a session recorded in early February, so I'm 4 months behind on editing. It gets faster, but since I try to do a decent job with production value as far as music, ambiance, and sound effects, I can only edit so fast at the moment. What good are these things that I wish I knew before I started, though, if I didn't try and learn from them? Once we finish our current story arc, I plan to stop recording until all the current recordings are edited and ready to post, and we'll have a soft reboot. We'll all be using Nox mics multi-tracked into the Zoom H6, which will be a massive boost for audio quality, both in the sound itself and also in being able to edit out noises from a single mic that are distracting. We'll take a small break so I can get a backlog ready to be able to buy us a month later down the line. And finally, I plan to drop from weekly recording to recording every other week so we aren't releasing episodes recorded months ago. Thanks for having my recording on the podcast, and thank you for all the help and advice you've given me over the months.
Absolutely great stuff. And we've dogged a lot about the Yeti microphone on this podcast and condenser microphones in general. If you're just starting and you have no other way to record, it's better just to start and to see how you sound and to learn that the improvements that you can get with a dynamic cardioid microphone, even if you have multiple people around the table, is probably worth it, and try to keep that investment as small as you can. The Zoom H6 with all these other microphones is going to definitely enhance his podcast sound quality. Broadcast headsets, like I have the Audio-Technica BPHS-1, would be great as well, but you don't need that. The $40 Nox microphones would be great to start with. So thank you very much, Damien, for talking about that and talking about your schedule and how you are going to basically relaunch with new audio. That is an amazing story.
And let's go ahead and move on to friend of the network, Suncast from GFQ Network.
Hey, Steven and SP, it's Suncast from the GFQ Network. Just wanted to take a moment and respond to the question that you asked on Twitter. What was my first question before I started podcasting? I've been doing this for quite a while now. I had a pretty good idea of what podcasting was. I've done like shoutcasting and that sort of stuff before I did podcasting. And that was like just fun stuff that I was doing. But then in around 2008, 2009, I really started focusing on actually doing a podcast. And I think my top question was, how do I get this thing out to people? How do I distribute this? And I knew immediately, you know, I wanted to be on iTunes. That's where people put their podcasts. That's the best way to get it to people that wanted to listen to my podcast. But I didn't really know anything about how to generate an RSS feed or anything like that. So I ended up finding a site like Podomatic or Podbean. I can't remember which of the two sites it was. I mean, again, this was back in like 2008, 2009, at the beginning of this whole podcasting thing, this whole revolution that started back then, the early days, if you will. And so basically with Podomatic or Podbean, I went to their website every single time that I had a new episode. I would go to their website, log in, and would have fields for me to enter in all the information to generate an RSS. Yes, every time I had a new episode, I had to actually create this RSS feed by hand. I was generating the XML by hand just about. And I would copy this XML file and upload it back to my website. And that's how I had it set up so that iTunes could see the XML. Because I didn't have WordPress. I didn't have PowerPress. None of this stuff really existed in my mind back then. And that's basically how I ended up distributing my first podcast to iTunes. Anyway, I hope this helps answer your question.
Thanks so much, Suncast. Terrific. And I gotta say, having some flashbacks to the early days of podcasting. I think you and I started about the same, similar journeys. We both started with, I think we had some shoutcast stations and things like that. You know, we got similar backgrounds, you and I. So one day, I think in the future, we will find that we have the same mother.
I hope not. I hope a moose wasn't involved. Say, this is a continuing theme here in the evolution of podcast tech and infrastructure. Just want to say podcast RSS are a lot easier to actually generate today, as Suncast pointed out, than they were just even a few years ago. Definitely have PowerPress, you have your podcast host companies all generate your RSS feed. I would argue that keeping control of your RSS feed is probably more important today than it was. It's always been important, but it's a little bit more obfuscated. Is that a correct word there? Obfuscated. I misspoke there. I'm sorry, but it is a little bit more hidden than it was in the past. And definitely keep an eye on who owns your RSS feed. If you're comfortable with a company like Libsyn having it, that's fine. But if you're uncomfortable with another company owning it that has free hosting that is going to slam your show with ads, maybe not the best thing for you.
No, thanks so much for that, Suncast. It's a great evolution story as well. Let's go on to our next audio clip here.
Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Darren.
And we're from Myth Take, a fresh take on ancient myth, a podcast where we look at ancient Greek mythology from the original sources. So, Darren.
Yes, Allison.
What do you wish you had known when we started podcasting?
That's a good question. Who wants to know this, you or somebody else?
Stargate Pioneer does, actually.
Stargate Pioneer.
Better podcasting.
That's a great, great name. I wish I had that. Okay, yeah. What do I wish that I had known? Well, number one, to keep a regular schedule. You know,
we're not so good with that.
No, we try. And the other one is, well, I think a regular schedule is essential because it sort of gets you in the mood for it. You know it's coming and then you have a time to prepare, right? Ad hoc's fine, but sometimes a little bit of preparation, at least thinking about it during the day, is helpful. And then the other one is that when you're creating podcasts, you're going to have good podcasts and you're going to have bad podcasts, and they can't all be diamonds. So, you know, you have to consider that, right?
And cut yourself some slack.
Yeah, cut yourself some slack. Don't beat yourself up so much about it. And then just move on to the next one, because if you're going to make dozens of these, they can't all be, you know, perfect little snowflakes. That's, you know, what I would want someone to tell me about podcasting. What would you like to, would you wish you had known before we started podcasting?
Well, I did not appreciate the time that it was going to take to podcast. Now, I enjoy the time.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how much work goes on aside from the hour or so we're in front of the microphone.
Right.
So the research and preparation, the planning, and then all of the editing and posting and keeping the blog going and social media.
Yeah, social media distribution, all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So there's a pretty big time commitment. Mm-hmm. And the money side of things too. It's not a super expensive hobby as hobbies go, but if you want to have some success, you do have to be willing to invest a little bit, obviously in a microphone, but the kind of the hidden costs like hosting and blog hosting and those kinds of things mm-hmm. can add up kind of quickly.
Right. And you can go, you know, you can go overboard, you can go just right, or you can go none at all with some of those things, right? Yeah. Free for a while.
Yes.
Until you realize that.
Until you're addicted.
And then you're like, oh, it's not enough, right? And then you got to go a little bit more serious. So it's kind of in waves. 1, 2, 3.
And one other thing that I wish I had known about Better Podcasting podcast. Mm-hmm. Lots of useful information in there listening through their past episodes. So thanks, guys, for a great podcast. And if you want to listen to us, you can find Myth Take on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and on Facebook.
That's right.
All right.
Amazing 3 minutes there. Thank you very much for providing that, guys. Myth Take. And it's an interesting subject, by the way. Ancient Greek mythology takes me back to high school, but probably in a much more entertaining fashion because I'm not stuck in a classroom pining out the window going, I wish I wasn't here. So I can't wait to listen to that. It's on my iPhone right now in the Overcast app. Can't wait to get to it. But a couple of things I want to talk about. Can't all be diamonds? Well, that is true because we haven't found a diamond yet here on Better Podcasting, but dozens? Try hundreds. That is what Stephen and I have done. And budgets, Stephen, you want to talk about budgets?
So the budgets, it is sort of a dynamic situation, as they said. You know, there's different things that'll change as you go through the podcasting. And I think they hit it on the head. And I think it's like all hobbies. It really is like all hobbies where it's dynamic. You just don't know. Sometimes you're going to spend a little bit more money on one than another. So absolutely loved the clip. Thanks so much for that. And let's go into a video clip for the video viewers. We've got Jeremy Dennis here.
Hey, Stephen and SP. This is Jeremy Dennis from the Transmissions Podcast Network at transmissionspodcast.com. You asked what we wanted to know before we started podcasting and what we found out the answers were. And I think when I started in 2013, the big question that I had was, will anyone actually listen to this? And it turns out that the answer is yes. It took a while to get there, but I think for a niche show about Transformers, we have pretty respectable numbers. Never hit new and noteworthy or any of that stuff, but I think we've built a very nice community around our show. We have a lot of interaction on Facebook and Twitter. And what I think has really been the most fun in the last year is we started up a Discord chat server, and we have a number of regular people in there all the time. I would say probably at least 20 or 30 just in there chatting with each other, chatting with us. And that's been great. And through Discord, we can stream audio live and we use that as a Patreon reward. So people that support us on Patreon can actually listen in and kind of be the peanut gallery as we record our live shows. And that's just been a blast. So, you know, the big fear of will anyone listen to us? I mean, you put out content people like and you get out into the community and promote it. You know, you actually do turn a profit in listeners because, you know, after over 3 years, we've been able to have a lot of fun meeting them at conventions and just people seem to still love our show. So thanks for the opportunity to answer this on video. And I'm sorry, SP, that you didn't get to do a dramatic reading of my content this time. Maybe next time. Thanks. See you guys.
Yes, we need that dramatic reading, but that's awesome. Thanks so much for that. That's a fantastic clip that you gave us. And SP, I'll let you dive in. I saw you itching here to comment.
I did. The Discord server is a great idea. I can't wait to check that out. Already messaged him, want to try to check that out on his show. And then building the community, that's the key for anything. Will anybody listen? Yes, people will listen to your show, especially if it's good stuff. They will eventually find it if you go out and promote it. And if you have a longevity behind you, don't think you're going to build a huge audience in 12 months. Even the more successful shows like Jim Briney over at Congressional Dish, took her a couple of years to get what she's got today. So don't think you're going to build that audience in 2 months. It's going to take at least 2-3 years, especially for a hobby podcast, probably longer. And you might not ever see the tens of thousands of listens. As long as you're having fun, that's what hobby podcasting is all about. Got a couple of video clips here, Stephen. Want to take the first one? So let's roll it.
This is Emily Prokop from The Story Behind at thestorybehindpodcast.com. with some of the first questions I had when I began podcasting. Right away, I Googled how to start a podcast. I probably found some article with the steps, and when I got to number 2, I froze. I think that was the step that said I required an RSS feed. Now, usually when I come across random letters like that for something tech-related, my brain just shuts off and says, nope, that sounds too complicated. Turn around, go back, don't bother. But luckily something pushed me through and I Googled what an RSS feed was. And once I found out, I realized I probably just had to set it up once and then I didn't have to worry about it. So as long as I could get over that hurdle, the rest of the steps for starting a podcast looked pretty easy. But more questions kept popping up as I went along. Luckily, I found podcasts about podcasting to help me out, which I remember being stunned to find out since it was such a meta thing. But now it makes perfect sense. Another question I had was how to remove ums and likes from our audio, because until I was editing myself, I had no idea how often I relied on crutch words. I began training myself to catch them before I even said them, or if I did say them, I would stop and restart the whole sentence over again to make editing easier for myself later. By the way, I find myself doing this in real life out of habit, and it drives my husband nuts sometimes. Another question I had as I was listening and reading everything I could get my hands on about podcasting was, who is John Lee Dumas, and why is everyone on fire? Luckily, I found out that as a hobby podcaster who wasn't trying to make a business out of podcasting or using my podcast as part of my business, I didn't need to set anything on fire to make it as a podcaster. And the minute before I pressed publish and my first episode was launched, I questioned what I was doing, if anyone would listen to me, or even worse in my head, if the whole world would listen to me and say mean things or tell me I was bad at this or make fun of me or even, oh God, leave a 1-star rating on iTunes. But luckily, I ignored those fears and nagging questions and I pressed publish. 2 years later, I'm up late after finishing an episode of my second show. And even though I should go to bed, it's always hard to pass up a chance to get behind the mic some more. Oh, and I did receive my first 1-star review, by the way. But for many podcasters, it's that first 1-star review that means you've made it. At least that's what I'm telling myself.
The 1-star review is the badge of honor of podcasters. It is indeed telling you you've made it, because if somebody cares enough to leave a 1-star review on your show, you know that they have listened to your show to get it there. It's not John Lee Dumas, by the way. It's JLD and those in the on hobby fire. Podcast. Yeah, on fire. And those in the hobby podcast, you don't worry about the JLD, but those in the business areas, you might want to check him out. Apparently he's on fire and has been for several years. Podcasts about podcasting. I am like Emily. I did not start listening to podcasts about podcasting until way after I started. If I would have known about podcasting, that would have made my entire entry into podcasting a lot better and easy. So, Stephen, editing again, it seems to be coming up more and more. I guess it's a technological hurdle.
Yeah, because we don't have an on fire editor. That's what we need. We need like audio editor on fire. But no, a nice little thing that I liked about Emily's story there was that she told us about how the one-star review actually affected her and was like kind of a badge of honor. And it's true. You know, you can't appease everybody. And I think that's a huge thing people have to learn. And it's a very, very hard pill to swallow. Now, the next question doesn't actually talk about the answers, but it is a very good question that I would love to have people send us future feedback for us to answer.
Hello, Better Podcasting. It's Naki from All Things Good and Nerdy, and my question is, how do you do interviews? Like, what do you do to prep for them, and where do you even get them to begin with? I do a lot of on-site interviews with a lot of new artists, and I'm starting to learn how to get my groove into it. What is the big tips for meeting people and interviewing them and getting them to talk about themselves? Thanks, guys. Love your show.
So this is a good question, and one that we're not going to dive into too much today because it is a longer than usual episode anyways, and I think it's definitely worth a follow-up. But the thing that I got to say with this whole question that I've seen from interviews both on podcasts as well as on websites is just try. That's a huge thing, is if you take a look and you just try, you're going to get rejected a lot, but sometimes you'll actually get pointed in the right direction. For example, when I ran the comic book website, sometimes we would reach out to certain people on Twitter and they'd say, hey, contact my PR person. And so there you go. Now we've got a contact. So sometimes it's a matter of just trying, like, how can you make that first step?
I have some great advice for getting an interview. You go on Tinder, you post a fake picture, you show up somewhere with a microphone, and then you try to interview them. No, I guess not. All right. So let's move on to Mike Howard.
Hey, Steven and Stargate Pioneer. This is Mike Howard from the JPEG to RAW Photography Podcast. Sending you this to answer the what you wanted to know before you launched question. And for me, it was several things I wanted to know. One was from a technical aspect about audio. You know, how did I record it? What did I use to record? Do I need a mixer? Which, you know, I have all that gear now. And what bit rate did I record it in? And all these questions, stereo, mono. I had all those questions. And I also had questions about video. You know, I knew I wanted to do a video podcast. We wanted to do it live. What program do I use to stream that, to record that? And then also for the live show, what chat room do I use? I was guest on several podcasts, and they had their own chat room using whatever they were using, and there were good things about it and bad things, but I wanted to know, you know, what chat room for me. And then, of course, the editing of all that on the video side. Let's go back to video. What size do I do? Do I, you know, if I'm going to put this out on iTunes, do I go to video large, video small, which is what I ended up doing, an HD version, a non-HD version, but figuring that out on the front end was a challenge. I also had the challenge of whatever way I was encoding it, I ended up with black bars on the top and the bottom, so I had to work through that. So that was a question for me on in a process of learning how to do that correctly. I also had a question about cost. You know, I've always looked at this as a hobby, and a hobby that I'm willing to spend some money on, like somebody who golfs or fishes or whatever else. I never looked at this as a moneymaker, so that was not a concern of mine. But, you know, there's a limit to how much I'm going to spend on a hobby. So that was a concern, and how much money I'm going to spend. It actually has turned out to be a good bit more than what I originally thought would be my max. But that's fine, too, for me. Then one of the biggest questions for me of all those things that were going on that I mentioned before was the co-host. Finding a co-host was something I knew I wanted to have a co-host because I was going to be doing all our shows live, and I felt that I needed a partner with that to help on the live show. So finding a co-host that meshed with me, that would not be overbearing, that our personalities work together, that would be dependable, and that would stay with me. And I was very fortunate to early in the show, I think by show four, I found my co-host, and he's been with me ever since. And while we've never physically met, you know, we've become good friends over the 6 years we've been doing this. So I was very lucky there, but that was one of my biggest concerns. And to tell you the truth, if I would not have found the right person for that, I don't know where the show would have went or whether it would have survived. So that was a big thing for me. Guest, getting guests on the show. So we do a lot of interviews on the photography podcast, the JPEG to RAW photography podcast. I worried about that at the beginning, and actually it's something I still struggle with in finding guests and getting them on and covering different topics. So it's something that we are still working on, and I imagine that forever it'd be something that we'll be working on. So that's definitely not a solved issue. And then the last thing I had is listeners. I know that a lot of people struggle with getting listeners and searching for listeners and wanting to, or viewers or whatever, and getting more of them. To be honest, that's something that I never worried about. I knew the topic we wanted to do. I knew that we wanted to cover photography and to do it as a way to help others. And if we just had a handful of people watching or listening, that was fine with me. Everybody wants more, but there's actually, because of my day job and everything, there's a limit to how many. I think if we had too many listeners, that could be a problem, because I'm never going to quit my day job to do this. But so that for me was not really a problem that I know a lot of other people search for is how to get listeners. And that really is the main things for me. You know, as far as what we did to fix, to solve some of these things, you know, I solved what audio, you know, we do MP3, we do it in mono, and I think 128 bit rate or something like that. Video, we do a video large, video small, and we have tried XSplit and VidBlaster and Wirecast, and finally settled on a program called VMix, allowing us to, you know, however we, the getting the video from the guest and co-host could be any number of ways. VMix puts it all together and transmits it out. So that solved that. The chat room depends on where we're going to. We use Chatwing on our website. We use YouTube Live chat when we're going there, and we use Facebook Live when we go there. And sometimes we have all three going and having to watch them. That's why, if you've ever seen all my monitors, I have that. As far as recording, I record through the VMix, which I mentioned, and I have a digital recorder that's coming off of my mixer. You can kind of see it right there, where I record the audio, a cleaner copy of the audio also. I use Adobe products, the Premiere for the video, Adobe Edition for the audio, for editing of all those things. And so for the most part, most of our things, you know, we've solved. You're always tinkering with your website and trying to fix it, and you know, the hosting. I've hosted on my own. I should have mentioned that. Hosting was another issue of all the files. I hosted them on my website for a while, DreamHost, and for 5.5 years, I've never had problems with that. But in an effort to stave off any potential future problems down the road, I've kind of spread that out some now, using Podbean also for some of that stuff. Using a Blueberry plugin on our website allows us to physically put the file in different places and it still work. So that's what we do there. Hope that helps you with some of my questions for your show on Friday. Good luck, and talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Thanks so much for that. Oh, as a fellow video connoisseur, I was all over that clip. I just, so many correlations between what you talked about and what I like to do. And the constant tinkering, I like that. You know, it's true. There's so much constant change as you go. So I have not used VMix yet. I tried it a long time ago, but I couldn't afford it, so I went with something else. But one day I'll be talking to you about VMix.
I was particularly interested into Mike's talk about finding a co-host, and actually I'm in search of a co-host right now for a podcast about podcasting. Steven, do you have any idea where I can find a co-host? Because I'm looking to fire one and then bring a new one on.
Yeah, what you should probably do is just go and if you drive and you keep driving, just go as far as you can, you're going to hit a body of water. And then what you do is just keep driving past that. And as you drive into there, you'll end up finding a co-host.
Sweet. So it's going to be Aquaman that I'm going to find, which is great because my car is actually a convertible submarine, just like in James Bond. And I'm kidding about firing Steven, although he is on notice right now.
Thanks so much for that. Excellent points through that, Mike. And let's get to our very last clip that we have, which I think personally does a really good job of recapping a common trend that we've heard all throughout today's episode, and a trend that some people actually have even commented during our live stream at Geeks.live.
Hello, Stephen and Stargate Pioneer. This is Pastor Joe McGarry from the Two Bald Pastors podcast. Thank you for asking me, what did I want to know before I launched my podcast? There were so many things that I did not know about podcasting from a recording side. I didn't know how I was going to get good audio sound. I didn't really know how to edit. I didn't know about ID3 tags and the importance of them. I didn't know where to host. I didn't know really anything on behind the scenes, and I wanted to learn that. So like any other project that I tackle, I jumped headfirst into learning as much as I could about podcasting. I read blogs about podcasting. I listened to podcasts about podcasting. I asked friends who had podcasts in the past what they did. But the biggest learning that I took away is actually doing it. And I learned from my mistakes. So I recorded a couple of times and I didn't get any audio from that, or I got terrible audio. My recording sounded very choppy when I started, and I hope to have a better sound about that now, a couple of years into it. I learned from mistakes from trying to tag my audio clips versus just putting them up online. And I've gone through a couple of different hosts and learned how to put my podcast on a website. So a lot of it has been trial and error. And I have learned that I could do my best and read as much as I could and get that head knowledge, but it wasn't until I actually did it that truly made a difference. So that is what I wanted to know about podcasting, and that's what I've learned so far into my podcasting journey. If anyone wants to listen to my podcast, please go to twobaldpastors.com and hear my latest episode with my friend Jeff. Again, we are the Two Bald Pastors. Thanks. Have a great day. Be blessed.
So wait, what you're trying to tell me, Pastor Joe, is that you had to do it to really learn it. Did I hear that right?
You did hear that right. You got to do it to learn it. Multiple people have talked about it, but he hammered it home. Pastor Joe, you are amazing. And thank you very much for your clip. And it is the central theme of everything that we've heard. Do it to learn it.
Absolutely. So thank you, everybody who participated. As I mentioned at the top here, we got way more feedback than we anticipated. Thus, it became the entire episode this week. Now, I want to reiterate one more time. If you're thinking of doing a podcast, listen to all of these successful podcasters that are podcasting right now and how they had to learn things on the fly. You will never be 100% prepared. Listen to that loud and clear. And when you do learn it, it's going to change. That's another common thread. Constant changing, evolving. Look at like the Suncast example, how he used to actually copy and paste the RSS feed. So many good examples here. So many good examples of the change. And so if you are thinking about doing this, I hope that this episode gives you that nudge you need to just do it. Just go and do it now. So thank you, everyone who participated. If you sent us a clip and by chance we didn't have it on this episode, send it again, because we must have missed it, and we'll try to include it in a future show.
And if you have a clip about your questions before you started podcasting and you didn't send it but you want to, you can get it to us and we will drop it in a future episode. Once again, thank you to everybody. Thank you, Diami. Thank you, Bandrew. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, the boys over at Digital Soup. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Damien. Thank you, Suncast. Thank you to the couple at Myth Take. We really appreciate your 3 minutes. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Naki. Thank you, Mike. And most of all, thank you, Pastor Joe.
Awesome. Well, that is taking us to the end of the show. Before we wrap up, we'll go ahead and talk to you briefly about that tease you might have noticed in last week's episode. That's right. If you watch the feed and you wait eagerly for it to come out on Tuesday, well, you would have seen that it actually came out on Sunday. Now, we did that as a little bit of a tease because we actually are going to be in June moving our schedule. Now, as you might know, right now we record live on Fridays. I think that's when we record. Isn't that right, SP?
It's a generic time of the day, generic day of the week, sir.
Yeah, we record on Fridays and then we redistribute on Tuesday. Now, the thing is, if you're not familiar as well, SP does a lot of other podcasts. He does quite a few, and two of which are covering the television shows Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, those two shows are actually moving their air date, and SP likes to do those shows pretty close after the air of the show. It makes sense. And so what is going to happen is his schedule is changing, which means that I get to reap the benefits. And we're going to try to move this over to a Wednesday recording coming out with a release on the weekend, thus the tease last week. So this is going to happen in June. We're still locking down the times, but it is going to be the end of June. And one of the reasons why we're doing this as well is because often with work schedules, like SP and I sometimes have to go away. And when we go away, we might be traveling back on the Friday. So often it makes for a very inconsistent recording schedule. So we're just locking down that final time so that we can as much as possible be consistent on Wednesdays and really have more fun during the live time, because we really like the live. We get lots of good interaction, and we want to just try to grow that a little bit too. So there's your inside baseball. We wanted to share that because that is coming in future weeks, and we had some people ask all about it.
In the meantime, we do have some summer travel schedule glitches coming up our way, vacations as well. So it's just stay tuned to our social media feeds as we tell you when we're going to record and when the episode's going to be released, but it will stabilize by the end of July.
Awesome. Well, that is the end of the show. Thanks again to everybody who participated. We'll be back with usual pod back and better podcasting download and topics next week. We'll be back to the usual format, but this again, so much great quality interaction on this subject. Thank you to everybody. So for episode number 82 of Better Podcasting, I still am waiting to launch my podcast.
And I'm SP looking for a new co-host. See you guys next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.